Hello, everybody. I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to share the Word of God. And I also thank the dear church, you people, for giving me this opportunity. I don't have much to tell about me, but just as an introduction, I don't know how many of you know about me or not. I don't come in BBC or Sky. But the thing is, I just wanted to say that, yeah, according to the will of the Lord, we had come to UK to do the ministry of God. And we planted a church in Thornton Eat in 2000. And it was there for 8 years. And it wasn't going well, but the later stage, you know, when the church doesn't have a proper fellowship in prayer, that church is gone. We can have very good music, we can have very good songs, we can have very good meals, we can have very good preachings, yeah. But unless and otherwise, the body, the members, are in a fellowship, in prayer, that church is gone. That's what happened in our church. There were so many divisions, there were so many politics, egoisms, and above all, the spirit of Jezebel that destroys the church. So, the Lord told me that I need to close down the church. But I was wondering, is it really the Lord is talking to me or the enemy is talking to me? Because with visions, we have planted the church. And then if everything is going wrong after 8 years, What's happening? Is it Lord or is it his enemy? So we were in prayer. Lord confirmed us, as well as we want a confirmation from some of the servants of God. And we did pray with my best two friends, and out of it is one is Jim. So we really prayed, and God told us that it is time for me to close down. So that's why we have to close down the church. But now, I can't be sitting idle. So until the Lord again calls me to serve him fully, I had to work, so I'm going to work in another place. But thank God for everything. What I'm saying is, from the day one, the Lord chose me, as well as my family people, as well as we also decided to follow the Lord. There's always obstacles, there is always pressure, stress, and everything. But in spite of it, the faith keeps growing in us. The faith is keep on growing in us. That's what we need. And that's why I wanted to share with you today something about faith. Because we all, without faith, we can't believe in the Lord Jesus. And without faith, you wouldn't have come into this room. Because the basic fundamental is the faith you are. And on that you are building your Christian life. So faith is very, very important. So I just want to share with you, I got, I think, 3 pages, and hopefully you will not be going for your lunch. I'm just joking. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your mercies and grace. Now we come before you, Lord. And we surrender everything before your throne. You are everything in our life, Lord. As we go through your precious word, it's not the words of the man. Let the Spirit of the Lord take control of every one of us. Speak to us, touch us, heal us, strengthen us, O Lord. We commit everything into you. In Jesus' name. Amen. When we speak about faith, immediately we come to the knowledge of it. It's in Hebrews. No? Hebrews is the chapter which speaks about faith. So I just wanted to give you a small definition about what is faith. I was praying to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to share with my dear people? And there were so many things were going on, but still I wanted to have a confirmation from the Lord what really wants me to. And then I got it. He said, you need to speak about the faith. Because in my experience, as well as you must have also seen, there are so many people who say they are Christians, who say they are believers, but the faith what they have, how is the faith, on which faith they are built up on? Today in the media we see all faith is speaking about materialistic blessing. You put your faith on this, you get this. You put your faith on this, you get job. You put your faith on this, you get money. You put your faith on this, you get health. It's all about earthly blessings. It's very rare to see somewhere some preacher speak about the heavenly blessings also. Earthly blessings will come and go. It perishes, but heavenly blessings never. It always stays with you. So basically, a believer, a Christian who is called, is needs to have his faith very strong. So, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. And in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 it says, it is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. There are so many things to come, but we just have to trust. We just have to put our trust and see that it's going to happen. And that's the other way they say is looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Faith is the conviction based on past experience that God's new and fresh surprise will surely be ours. So, faith, I wanted to give two words of description. Faith is like, it's sure and certain. That's faith. These are the two qualities need a secure beginning and ending point. The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character. He is who He says. The end point of faith is believing in God's promises. He will do what He says He will do. That's the faith that we must have in us. When we believe that God will fulfill His promises, even though we don't see the promises materializing yet, we demonstrate true faith. So, faith is a gift. Don't you think? What do you say? Faith is a gift or not? Without God giving you that, you cannot have faith in God. Faith is a gift. But the Bible says faith is given to everyone with a measure. If you see in Romans chapter 12 verse 3, what does it say? It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given a measure of faith. Okay, if God has given a measure of faith, is it that we have to keep the faith just idle like that? God has given you a measure of faith. And what is our duty in that? is to develop the faith, grow in faith, build up in faith. See, God is expecting, all God is expecting is from us is faith in Him. Are you trusting me in every situation? Are you trusting me in every problem? Are you trusting me in every situation that you're going through? That's what God wants us. See, we can grieve God when you don't trust Him. Say like this, put it this way. If your children doesn't trust you, how will you feel? When the children doesn't trust the parents, how will the parents feel? It pains. When my children don't trust me, I feel painful. That's how our Heavenly Father is. When His children doesn't trust Him, He's pain in His heart. That's why faith is very, very important. Today, I just humbly request you to imagine that you have a measurement of a temperature or whatever it is, thermometer, and just analyze your faith life, how it is. There the degree is. Are you low in your faith or you're in the right place? What can help us? God is there to help you. The Spirit of God is there to help you to build up your faith. All we need to do is help me, Lord, to stay in your faith. Help me, Lord, to put my trust in you. That's the situation. God wants us to trust Him in every situation. We have a measure of trust, the faith that God has given us, but it's not that where it should be. It should grow. And as it grows, the first person to be happy and joyful is our Lord, Savior. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, it's a very known story, everybody knows. Jesus was walking on the water. Yeah? And he came near to the boat where the disciples were. And you know, Peter immediately, he said, "Is that Lord you? And if it is you, I want to come to you." He was so excited when he saw Jesus walking on the water. And he wanted to have that experience, what Jesus had. And the Lord says, "Yes, come." When you wanted to say, "Lord, I wanted to go into that faith," He allows you. He invites you. "Yes, come in. Come. Trust in me and come. I am there to lift you. I am there to hold on you. I am there to carry you." And Peter, when he decided, he had the faith, he decided to step out of the boat into the water and he started walking. But the human nature, the surrounding waves, the wind sounds and everything made him fearful. He said, "Ah, it's so dark here. The waves are there. The wind is so strong. I'm walking on the water. I'm going to fall off now." Doubt came into his heart. The moment doubt came into his heart, he started sinking. But was Jesus looking at him and said, "Ah, you lost your faith. Okay, go ahead. Sink yourself." Did he say that? He was there to lift him up. Immediately he lifted him. But one thing, before lifting, Jesus said one word. What was it? He said, "O you of little faith." If Peter can ask, if Jesus can ask Peter that question, why can't he ask you and me? Today the church, the Christian circles are lacking faith. They have so many different types of faith they have. They are putting their trust in different ways. The faith should be basically on the fundamental basis of the Word of God. Not as you think, what as someone preaches on the TV, or someone who is doing saying something, whatever they like. The faith should be on the Word of God. So, if Jesus can ask that question, oh, you of little faith, I don't know how many times Jesus should have asked us in our lifetime. Just think about it. Let's be open to God. Let's be open to the Holy Spirit. Let's be faithful to Him. Are we really trusting Him in the time of desperation? Are we really trusting Him in times of troubles? Are we really asking Him His guidance? Sometimes I used to tell some people, they used to go and sit for hours together in prayer for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. They pray so strong and hard. When you look at them, they say, ah, really, these people are praying for 2-3 hours. They are full of strength. They are full in spirit. They are full in faith. But the moment they come out of the room, the first word what they speak is something unfaithful they speak. Something they say which is not, they don't trust. But what's the point of praying for 3 hours? And then just once you come out of the room, the confession that comes from their mouth is against the faith. And why I'm speaking this is because of the practical experiences I've gone through and seen through. Let's be honest in our faith before the Lord. We can make Him feel sorry if you don't have the right faith in Him. There's another example I just wanted to share with you is Mark chapter 4 verse 40. There you also see Mark chapter 4 verse 40. Jesus said, let's cross the river. The word is word. Its truth is truth. It cannot be changed. But Jesus said, it's done. He says, let's cross the river. And as he was traveling, he was so tired that he went to sleep. And when he was asleep, there was a storm. And when the storm came, what was the response of the disciples? The first thing they said is, oh, Lord Jesus, don't you know that we are perishing? They lost the faith of what Jesus said. We are going to cross the river. They lost it. They forgot about it. They totally forgot about that. They never remembered, oh, He said that we are going to cross. What come may be, we are going to be on the next shore. They never had that faith. But instead, what they said is, we are drowning. We are all going to die. And then, what was Jesus' response to that? Before he could speak to the storm, what he said is, how is that you have no faith. These are the disciples who were with Jesus, who have seen all his miracles, who have witnessed, who have enjoyed, who have been blessed, and now they are saying, you are going to perish and what you are doing. And Jesus says, where's your faith? We can be close to God, we can be close with Jesus, but still we may not have the real faith in him. That's what I'm cautioning about it, to the people, to the church, to my friends, to everyone. You may be close to God, you may be close with Jesus, but do you have the real faith in him? And what may? Trust in him. This one is always scary. When I read this one, the next one is really very scary for me. It's in Luke chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. It's the parable about a widow who went to a judge. Even though he was a very bad judge, unjust judge, the widow was continuously, constantly keeping on going to that person to get a fair judgment for her. Even though he is not going to give, but still she was bent upon. She was keep on going and say, I need it. She was going with a case. And you know, that unjust judge then finally decided, he said, okay, this lady is keep on persisting me, so let me do something for her. That's what Jesus, as a parable, he says, when an unjust man can even decide to do a good thing, how about a justful God can do for his own children when they come to them? But the thing is, here also Jesus says one thing. What he says? Jesus says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's scary. When the Son of Man comes back to this earth, he says, I'm doubtful about whether there will be faith on me. They'll have faith on me. The other day I received a text from another person. It mentioned about this and shows where our country is going, this country is going. It says, our chancellor has said to his party that, you know, what is the secret behind Obama won the election? It is because he approved and supported the gay marriage. So as well, if we can support a gay marriage in this country, we can win the election by ourselves and we don't have to depend on Nick Clegg. This is how the politicians wants to go and run the country. They only want power, they only want the vote from the people, but in what means? On what basis? On what principle? No, there's no principle. What they need is to come to power. And what they say is, because how he won? Because he supported. So we'll also do the same thing. What a shame. It's against their teachings of the Bible. It's against what God has said in the Bible. It's against the faith what we are holding on. But this is how the things are going on. We are in a desperate situation. Things are not good in the world out there. And what the church is doing and what his children are doing, that's more important. We have to We have to stand to our faith. We have to stand strong in our faith and say no. Sometimes we do lack faith in God. I have many times I have lost faith because the way the things we faced in our life. Many times I even used to tell Jim sometimes, I said, Jim, I don't know, even my very faith is being shaken. Many times I used to tell him. Because of the pressure, the stress, the problems that surround us. See, the thing is, when you go closer with God, the enemy, Satan, is not going to keep quiet. He's going to be more active. But it's not that I'm not trying to put fear in your heart. But the thing is, we don't have to be afraid of him. Because you are in a very comfortable, rightful place. So the devil, where the devil cannot touch you. He may try to. He's like a roaring lion. But we are with our Almighty God, and he will take care of us. So sometimes, due to the situations and pressures, we do stumble in faith. And as well as even the disciples also, I don't know what happened, what made them to ask Jesus. They said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. If you see in Luke chapter 17 verse 5, there was a request by the disciples to Jesus. But the request was genuine. And they said, we wanted to increase our faith. I don't know why they asked, but they wanted to increase the faith. And Jesus there did not give them a direct answer. Here also he did reply to them, but in a different way. He spoke to them about the mustard seed. The mustard seed is small, but it is alive and growing. The mustard seed is small, but it's alive and growing. Like a tiny seed, a small amount of genuine faith in God will take root and grow. Now, the growth doesn't start up, the growth starts underneath the soil, inside the earth. When the seed is planted, the seed is alive and the root starts coming up. Once the roots get strong enough on the earth, then you find the things coming up visibly. That's how a believer's life should be. A mustard seed of alive and active faith in you when you accepted Lord Jesus Christ must be rooted so strong and visibly it should come up giving fruitful lives. That's what Jesus was talking about. It's not the question of how big faith you have. It's the question of, even if it is tiny and small, it should be alive and active. And if your faith should be alive and active, the most important thing is that you have to have more relationship and more activities with your local church. It's not that only we have to come here on Sunday. Even I, because I'm a little bit far away, I'm coming only on Sunday. I'm sure of it. In fact, I'm trying to come on Wednesdays. I'm trying to come on other days. But the question is, I'm a bit far, but I'm trying to. The more we are active members, the more we come. That's why Paul also says, no? Be associated with the fellow brothers. Come together. Stay together. Pray together. See, in the faith, you cannot stand alone. In faith life, you have to have people around you where they have the same mind and spirit. Pray together. Sing together. We need to have more contacts and connections with the local church so that your faith should grow strongly. If you want to, you might have started faith in the right way, but the devil is always there to spoil it. The devil is always there to destroy it. What is devil's work is in your life? To take away the faith that you have put on the Lord, to be removed. That's the only thing he's always trying to do. He's trying to take away the faith from you. Don't trust God. Trust in you. You yourself is God. That's where we have to be so careful, that faith is so important, that we trust God and have relationship and communications with children of God. Hebrews 10:38 says, a righteous person will live by faith. A righteous person will live by faith. But I will have no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Any person who turns away from faith, God is not pleased. The book of Hebrews, as I told you in the beginning, the book of Hebrews encourages believers to persevere in their Christian faith and conduct when facing trial and pressure. We don't usually think of suffering as good for us. When suffering comes, do you think it is good for us? You don't. How many of you say, oh, Lord, I like to suffer? Be honest, no one. But only through sufferings, trials, and persecutions, your faith is being tested and you come closer with God. In Hebrews, when you read it, sometimes you'll use the question, Lord, all these believers, they trusted you, they believed in you. They were so strong in your faith, but the result is they were waiting for, which they didn't see. Why? See, we can't take God's love, grace for granted. God wants to test us. See, when there is test and trials coming in our way and our life, there's no point in blaming God or Satan. It is just to analyze, where have I gone wrong? Where I have gone wrong. That's it. When you start analyzing that, God is there to help you. God always wants to test our love. God always wants to test our faith. God loves to give us money, but he knows the moment he gives you a lot of money, you're not going to read your Bible, you're not going to pray, you'll be always in the shopping center. By giving you a lot of money, God doesn't want to perish your soul. You're with me? God knows what to give. God knows when to give. Just trust him. That's why Christians should have this. Even if you're going in a trial, even if you're going in a persecution, even if you're going into some kind of a problem, say, it's good for me. It's good. Why I say this? I have gone through that. I have murmured against God. I have spoken a lot of against the faith. Said, no, this is not working. My prayers are not being heard. God is not gracious with me. All such of things. But at the end of the day, again, I come back to God. So But Lord, you are the one whom I can trust. Says, see, I tell you, the believers who were in the present stage are in very comfortable zone compared to Hebrews. If you read all the patriarchs and then say the Bible, if you read the book of Nehemiah or Habakkuk or Ezekiel, Hosea, you see all the prophets going through the testings, the trials. We are much more comfortable than what they were. But how thankful are we? How committed are we? Still, we say we want more. I remember the basic thing, the dangerous. From the young, I was so eager to do the ministry of God. From very young, from 8 years, when I was old. From that time, I wanted to become a preacher. So always I start keeping preaching, like as if I'm imitating preaching and singing songs and taking worship and this and that are always in my house. So when we have a family gathering, they say, oh, come on, you imitate about somebody. I imitate about someone, some preacher, some kind of a sermon I give. Like that, my life was always. One of my mom's elder sister's husband, my uncle, he asked me once. He was a subedar in the army. So he asked me, Pastor, when you grow up, what do you want to be? Now, he was expecting me that I would say a doctor, an engineer, a pilot, or someone. But he never expected me what I'm going to say. And he said, what you want to be? I said, I want to be a preacher. And he said, huh? Why you want to go to every house and drink milk? Because there in Asian countries, when the pastors go to, Jim knows about it, pastor goes to the believer's house, they wanted to give them the special food. And some pastors, they said, we don't take coffee or tea, we take only milk. So they keep drinking milk. So that's why my uncle got so angry. He said, oh, you want to go to every house and drink milk? And that's why you want to be a preacher? I thought, what? I want to become a preacher and this man is shouting at me. I thought he will appreciate me, but he's shouting at me. He said, you better change your thoughts, he said. Change your mind. You are not going to be a preacher. You have to become a soldier or an engineer or a doctor or a pilot. Not a person who drinks milk in every house. So, when you read the Bible, you know that the people who were mentioned in the Bible, they have gone through so many trials, so many persecutions for the sake of faith. But just think, as on today, just for the sake of faith, how much trial you have gone through and how much persecution you have gone through. You do have problems, material problems. You may be lacking money, you may not be having a job, you may not be having a proper health, or you may not be having a proper relationship. And see, that's how the devil brings all these things and set our mind. All our prayers are about, Lord, I want money, I want health, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Yeah, God is there to give. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Everything is already given to you. Where's the faith? Church, where is the faith? We are not exercising our faith properly. The faith has to be exercised. And God honors that. When you find time in your house, please read Psalms 107. 107. It's a very good psalm where you find the power of God and how He was there to help the people who were in need. Why God has written about Red Sea? Why God has written about the River Jordan story? There are so many stories that God has already written, which has happened in the past. Why? Just to build you and me in faith that He's a God who can do. He's not going to open the Red Sea for you now because we don't have a Red Sea here. All we had now is floods. But even in that flood, God is there to help us. But the thing is, why God has recorded all the events in the Bible? Just to say, when you're sleeping in the bedtime, you have to read? No. To put your faith in the Lord, God, who has done all these miracles. If He has done miracle on that day, He is still there to do for you. So, the fundamental thing is faith. Basically, what we need to do is faith on the Word of God, faith on God, faith on the right living with God. That's where we need to have. If you read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, I really appreciate those Hebrews children, those three children, there in the death sentence. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were put to death sentence. That's a desperate situation in their life. For the sake of money? For the sake of health? For the sake of anything else? No. For the sake of their faith. For the sake of their faith, they have to face the persecution. They were in the death sentence. But even in that situation, that's what I really love that. They were holding on to their faith. You know what they said to the king very boldly? We cannot worship the image that you have put. And our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. But, that's the thing. But, even if He does not, we are not going to worship this idol. We are going to stay with Him. We are going to be in faith in that Lord. Can we do that? Can we say that? I don't know how many in the end time when the officials comes or the policeman comes or whoever comes and say, you're not going to follow this faith, you have to give away this faith. I don't know how many people are going to say this. Verse. How many people are going to be there? Like these three people. Even I am doubtful. I myself doubt. If they challenge me for faith, will I stay there? Will I say that word? That I cannot. And I will stay in the faith where I am. I really doubt. I really pray, Lord, I should not. It's really fearful, I tell you. The Lord is expecting the church to have a very right faith. We cannot pray with God. We say, yes, we believe, but really in heart we don't believe Him. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. But at the same time, He is a just God. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, He says, I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. Jesus, He's praying that our faith should not fail. So, I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, take good care of thy faith. Test your faith every day. Faith is the only means whereby you can obtain blessings. Prayer cannot draw down assurance from God's throne except it is be the earnest prayer of the person who believes. You can pray, as I said earlier, but if you don't have faith, that prayer goes waste. So, if you want an answer from the throne of God, your prayer should be supported by faith. With faith, whatever you ask, God is there to give you. But without faith, it's difficult for Him to do a miracle in your life. It's difficult for Him to work in your life. Anyone? Faith is the connecting line with God, like telecommunication. Without faith, you cannot speak to God. Without faith, you cannot get anything from God. If you want to speak to God, if you want to have communication with your God, you need to have faith. That's the connecting cable. And if that connecting cable is snapped, if that connecting cable is disconnected, how you are going to communicate with your Lord? How you are going to communicate with your problems? How you are going to communicate your faith in Him? Make sure you are connected with Him through faith. Faith is very important. Anyone in trouble, they can obtain help by faith. But take away faith, we cannot communicate with our Lord. Faith links us with divinity. Faith clothes us with the power and presence of God. Faith ensures every attribute of God in our defense. Faith helps us march triumph over the necks of our enemies. But without faith, how can we receive anything from the Lord? Faith honors God. God honors faith.